Chapter 15.
It's so good to be home!
Valerie shouted, jumped from the back of the wagon, and rushed toward the house.
Not only that, but we beat those big, dumb aristocrats and got the right letter! Oh, this is so fantastic! I'm so happy!
I chuckled, jumped from the driver's seat, turned, and then offered my arms up to Daisy. The brunette stood from her seat, shuffled closer, grabbed me by the forearms, and stepped down onto the gravel beside me.
We also got the imp.
The bear girl smiled.
Can't forget about that.
Yes!
The cat girl chuckled.
We have half of what we need for another experiment. Oh, Charles, can we please make us another sister? Oh, please, oh, please!
Valerie turned in the gravel drive, pressed her clasped hands to her chest, rushed forward, and aimed her wide, pleading eyes at me. The ash-blonde woman puckered out her lips, whimpered a few times, dropped to her knees, and lifted her clasped hands toward my chest.
Charles, please!
The feline woman cried.
Let us do it! Let us do it! Let us do it!
Eventually, I chuckled, reached down, ruffled her hair, but then shook my head. You know we can't just yet. We'll just have to keep the imp until the next woman comes along and threatens us. Valerie deflated, slumped to the side as her hands dropped, and then dramatically sagged onto her side with a loud sigh.
What are we going to do with it in the meantime?
Daisy asked.
We can't keep it in this box. It'll surely die. It needs food, water, and a small space to roam. Or at least that's what the book said.
I could build a small cage for it. The cells downstairs are far too big for it, and it'd slip between the bars within seconds of being inside. What do imps eat, Daisy?
According to the bestiary books in your library, any type of uncooked meat will do.
The bear girl informed us.
They are carnivorous by nature, but they're scavengers when food is scarce, so they'll practically eat anything if they're hungry enough.
So?
Valerie giggled, sat up, swiveled, and grinned up at us.
We get to keep it? Almost like a pet?
Yes, I chuckled. I guess you could think of it like that. You can take care of it, feed it, and water it, but I'm sure you wouldn't be able to take it out of its cage, though. It's a wild animal.
Hey, now!
The cat girl disagreed.
I practically tamed the bear that we used to make Daisy. I'm sure I could tame a little imp. It can't be that bad.
It bit me. I shook my head. You absolutely cannot, under any circumstances, take the imp out of the cage after I build it. Do you understand, Valerie?
Yes, Charles.
The beautiful feline woman grumbled. No, I want you to promise, I urged. The last time you said you wouldn't let the bear out, and you did exactly that.
Fine.
The feline woman sighed.
I promise I won't let the imp out into your laboratory. Even though the bear was perfectly fine, no one got hurt, and it became my bestest friend and sister.
Thank you, my dear. Now, let's get this beast inside, and I'll start working on the cage for it. I need to call for a courier to send off the other aristocrat's items. I've finished off both of them, and I should be paid within the next few days once they receive them.
Yay!
Valerie shouted.
The manor is saved! I'm so glad that we can finally relax. It's so nice to be home finally and not have to worry about an aristocrat just showing up out of the blue.
You're right. That is nice, especially since we intercepted the letter. Edney won't have anything on us anymore, and hopefully we'll stop being a target to her.
Speaking of the letter,
Daisy uttered,
why don't we read it? I'm kind of curious to find out what the Brownings said back to the Duchess.
Valerie jumped to her feet, stuffed a hand into her jumpsuit, stuck her tongue into the corner of her mouth as she wriggled around, and then pulled out the eggshell white letter. The feline woman examined the surface, shrugged, and then handed it over to her sister.
Shall I read it?
Daisy asked. Go on ahead, I nodded. I kind of want to know what they said back, too. Daisy peeled back the delicate wax stamp, stared at it for a second, opened the envelope, and produced the folded letter. The bear girl unfolded it, held it in both hands, and then read aloud.
To whom it may concern,
the brunette recited.
I have received your unexpected letter at the worst of times, but I will address all of your concerns, though I am unsure why you are so interested about the life of my youngest daughter.
Oh! Valerie giggled.
Lady Browning was not happy to hear from Edeny.
You asked me if my young daughter, who has not yet debuted out into society, has moved to your puny town of Edenhart. The answer, of course, would be a resounding no. Ophelia is at the tender age of 16, and I would not allow her to visit such a small, horrible, and corrupted place outside of the capital on her own.
Ouch! I almost wish that Edeny had received this letter. Lady Browning is letting her have it.
As to your question regarding a consort under the name of Charles Rayburn,
Daisy pressed on,
as I have written, my daughter is not yet over the age of 16, and is not permitted to take a consort yet, though I have no idea what passes for normal in your backwater duchy. I have never heard that name or met a man under such moniker. The Browning family has a rigorous breeding program in place, and a future consort has already been chosen for her. I can assure you, her future consort is not from the reeking cesspool that is known as Edenhart. If you have any more questions about my child's life, or business that has to do with the family Browning, please keep them to yourself. Sincerely, Her Grace, Celestia Browning.
I knew the letter was going to be bad, but I didn't expect her to destroy the Duchess and Edenhart like that. It was absolutely fantastic.
Makes me kind of wish we'd worded our letter a little more brutally.
Daisy snickered, folded the letter up, and slipped it into her pocket.
We were cordial at best, with a few jabs here and there. Now that it's out of the way, why don't I summon the couriers for the two aristocrats, and you can go down into the laboratory and build the cage for the imp?
Yes, that sounds like a good idea. Val, come with me. Do you want to help use the welder?
Oh, boy, I do!
The feline woman gasped, jumped to her feet, and raced on toward the stairs.
It's so much fun! I think it's my favorite thing you've let me use in the laboratory. Ooh, maybe next time we create a monster girl, you'll let me throw the switch.
I haven't witnessed the transformation yet,
Daisy uttered.
But I'd like to throw the switch too, if I may.
We can hold hands as we do it,
the feline woman cried.
Please, Charles, let us throw the switch next time.
All right, you can. I've done it both times, and I'll admit, it's invigorating.
Then it's settled. Daisy and I get to throw the switch and create our brand new sister.
The stunning ash-blonde woman giggled.
Come on, Charles. You said you'd let me use the welder by myself.
Not by yourself. Val, wait up. You can't use it by yourself yet.
Go on.
Daisy smiled.
I'll call for two couriers to come pick up the items.
A wide smile spread over my lips. I nodded to the brunette, and then tore after the feline woman. I couldn't help but feel happy now. It seemed as if everything was going right, and luck was finally on our side. We didn't have to worry about the Duchess anymore because of the letter we'd sent, though the chief constable concerned me a bit, but I knew for sure that we'd left no trace at the crime scene. I followed Valerie down into the belly of the laboratory. The feline woman was just starting to wheel out the welder, squeaked when she saw me, and then scuttled away. Oh, no, you're not getting away from me that easily. Come here, you rascal. I grabbed her around the waist before she could escape, lifted her off the ground, turned her around in my arms, and then held her tightly to my chest. Valerie's ash-blonde hair created a curtain around her shoulders. Her light blue eyes glittered in the mid-afternoon sunlight, and my heart pounded in my chest just by looking at her. I brought her closer until our noses were almost touching, took in all of her gorgeous features, and then pressed my lips to hers in a passionate kiss.
Hey, hey, hey! A.B. cried. Are you not going to say hello to your lovable, bumpy companion? I've been waiting here for the past 2 days, and the first thing you do when you come in is to start making out with each other?
Sorry, A.B., I chuckled. Hello, how are you? Have you been resting while we've been away?
I've been fine, just fine, Charles, the brain grumbled. I'm not like a dog that can just run away. I'm stationary. I can't wander around on my own, you know. But if we had a series of water-filled tubes all around the manor, I'm sure I'd be happier.
I know, I know. We've been neglecting you. We've had so much going on, and we haven't given you the attention you need.
Don't patronize me! I just said I wasn't a dog! I may be in a tank like a goldfish, but you can't sprinkle some food into the tank and hope I'll be fine for a few days. I need stimulation! My brain will get rusty! What if you come back one day and I've reverted back to childhood? I'll be goo-gooing and gaw-gawing all over the place.
Well, so far so good. You haven't reverted at all. You seem in high spirits, pretty boisterous, if I do say so myself.
I'm so sorry you felt left out, A.B.
Valerie pouted.
We'll give you as much attention as you want. Plus, we won't be going anywhere anytime soon. We switched out the letters, found an imp, fixed Josephine's elevator, found out Josephine likes Charles. And now, after all this, hopefully, the Duchess will leave us alone.
That's a lot of information to take in. Where should I start? You found an imp. And Josephine likes you. Like, as a friend, or a mutual acquaintance, or she likes you.
Valerie shouted.
Like how Daisy and I like Charles.
You love me, I corrected. I doubt that Josephine has very serious emotions tied to me, like love.
Her diary seemed to indicate love.
Valerie shrugged.
I was the one who read her diary.
Josephine is the pretty blonde one, correct?
The brain asked.
I hope it is. The other two women who were here for the auction were atrocious looking.
You could see them?
Oh, yes. Through that far window, I could see all of you.
Then, yes, Josephine is the pretty blonde one. She's very nice. Probably the nicest aristocrat I've ever come into contact with.
She's a harlot!
Valerie cheered.
She doesn't see Charles as a brute, but as a man with great talents. She even wrote in her diary what she imagined you looked like naked. And if I'm being honest, she got it spot on.
A harlot? A brute sympathizer? In this day and age? What, I never!
It seems so, I uttered. Though I'm sure there are others, they certainly don't go around shouting their views to other aristocrats. They'd be ruined if they did. Everything stripped from them, maybe even sent to an insane asylum.
Insane asylum?
Valerie echoed.
What is that?
They're technically called psychiatric hospitals. They're supposed to specialize in the treatment of serious mental disorders, but over time, the matriarchy has used it like a jail for people who don't agree with them. Most brute sympathizers are sent to insane asylums, and the aristocrats brush it off by saying that the women sent there have sick minds, that they wouldn't have those thoughts about brutes if they were in their right minds.
That's horrible,
the beautiful woman whimpered.
How can they go around punishing those who don't think the same as them? Are people not entitled to their own thoughts and feelings about things?
It's just the way it is. It's been that way for a very long time. People have tried to change it, but because women are the most powerful beings on the earth, it never has a lasting effect on our leaders. There used to be lots of uprisings, long before I was born, women and men combined, but over time, people accepted that this was the way things would remain. Women would stay in power, and men were destined to be nothing more than their servants.
We're going to change it,
Valerie assured me.
Every time we create a new monster girl is another woman converted to a new way of living. It's not just a change of their bodies, but it's also a change in their minds. Look at Daisy. Delphine is part of her, and she still loves Charles with all of her heart. I think what Charles is doing will change the world for the better, and slowly, over time, the old ones will die off. Slowly, over time, we will build a new world where women and men are equals. Everyone loves Charles, and the matriarchy is destroyed.
I'd love for all that to happen. But we have to be realistic. It's not going to happen anytime soon.
I know,
Valerie replied glumly.
I just like to think about it a lot. It's a nice idea, having a world full of sisters who love you. I'm so tired of hearing about how badly men are treated. It's not fair. They didn't do anything wrong.
The Didn't you say something about an imp? A.B. asked. I swear you did, and I honestly thought I heard you wrong. You caught an imp. Isn't that one of those small, mischievous beasts?
Yes. It had created a nest in the core of Josephine's elevator. I managed to trap it, and we brought it back here for safekeeping. We're going to use it in the next experiment.
Ooh! Are we getting another monster go?
The brain giggled.
That's so exciting! I loved watching Daisy and Valerie come to life and come out of the compartments. When is it happening, Charles? Soon? Oh, please say it's soon.
No, not anytime soon. I shook my head. We're at peace for the moment. We switched out the letter sent from the Browning family, and that'll get Edeny to leave us alone, at least for a small amount of time.
Dang it, A.B. grumbled. It's always so exciting when we bring a new monster girl into the world. It's the only excitement I'll get to see down here.
Charles?
Valerie asked.
Have you ever thought about using A.B. in an experiment? Not with a woman, of course, but to transfer his consciousness to a body. He must get tired of swimming in that tank all day, especially when we leave to go somewhere.
I've thought about it. Not seriously, but I have.
You have?
A.B. shrieked. Yes, but it was only once, in passing. But I'd hate to put him out there and then have the same results as all the other experiments. I'm curious to know what would happen, but I wouldn't take a chance with his life.
Thank you, Charles. But in all honesty, I'm kind of glad that you didn't. I've been in this state for so long, I'm used to it. What would I do with a body? I haven't been in one for so long, I've forgotten. But not only that, with a body, you have to feed it, water it, clean it, exercise it. Ugh, sounds like far too much work than I'd like to put in. At least in this form, Charles is the one who cleans my jaw and cleans me in the tank. I only ask for a few tubes filled with water so I can travel around the house and not be as lonely when you leave. Maybe we could even get a few fish to put in there. I'm sure they'd love to eat the algae off my surface. Come on, Charles, it's a good idea.
I said I'd think about it. It wouldn't be too difficult to build, though I'd have to drill a hole through the ceiling so you could go up to the upper levels of the house. Is your spinal cord strong enough to propel you upwards, though?
It may be weak now, but I'm sure if I practiced enough, it would grow stronger over time. When I'm in the larger cleansing tank, I can use it to move from one side to the other.
All right, all right. I'll think a little harder on it. But can you imagine how funny it'd be if someone comes to visit, they see all of these water-filled tubes all over the house, and then a brain just casually floats past?
It's not funny. I'd simply be greeting a guest. I'm sure they couldn't hear my salutations, but it's the thought that counts.
I shook my head, chuckled under my breath, and grabbed the spare piece of metal I'd used to create the cells across the room. I motioned Valerie over, grabbed masks for both of us, slipped the first over her head, placed mine over my face, and switched the welder on. I cut the pieces small enough to create a four-sided cage, smaller in size but still large enough for the imp to wander around in. The metal pieces clinked to the floor dully over the sound of the welder. I collected the discarded parts and then used them as the bars for the small cage. Before long, I ushered Valerie closer, pressed myself against her back, and allowed her to take control over the welder. The feline woman worked diligently under my hand, and before long, the cage began to take shape. Once we had most of the pieces welded together, I snapped the machine off, stood from my position, and slid the machine across the floor.
What are you doing now, Charles?
Valerie asked, followed after me and watched intently.
We need to create the door. It's going to be a bit more difficult than just welding a few pieces of metal together. It needs hinges, but more importantly, a lock to keep the imp inside.
Are you going to show me that now?
The feline woman asked, but our attention was drawn away from our task at hand by a loud scream.
Charles!
Daisy shouted.
Daisy!
I yelled back.
What's wrong? What is it?
Charles!
The brunette gasped.
Someone is coming up the drive.
The alarm hasn't gone off?
I questioned.
No, not in a carriage,
the bear girl protested.
On foot. You need to come quickly. I'm frightened, Charles.
Stay here, I instructed. I'll be back down as soon as I can. Don't come upstairs, do you understand?
Yes, Charles,
Valerie bleated, stepped closer to the cabinet she usually hid in, and swung the door open.
Do you have any idea who it could be?
No idea, especially if they're coming up on foot. All right, stay down here, okay? I turned on my heels, raced up the stairs, rounded the corner of the house, spied Daisy, and then came to stand beside her. The brunette's eyes were wide with fear, her tiny hands curled into fists, and I wrapped a comforting arm around her shoulders. Where are they? I asked.
There!
Daisy pointed down the hill.
They've just passed the gates. Who could it be? Why are they on foot? Why are they wearing that hood?
I looked where the bear girl pointed and finally spied the person she spoke about. The person was average height, or at least from what I could see from this far away, and they wore a black, hooded cloak that billowed out behind them like wings. They moved jerkily, and every few steps they'd turn, walk a little way down the hill, mutter something under their breath, and then turn back toward the house. "Hello?" I shouted. "Who are you? Why are you here?" The person jerked at the sound of my voice, lifted their head, but I still couldn't see underneath the black hood. I turned toward Daisy, but the brunette kept her golden eyes aimed toward the person coming up the hill. "Go inside," I urged her. "Go inside and lock the door."
"No, Charles."
Daisy shook her head.
"I need to stay out here. I'm strong. I can defend myself."
"All right. At least go up on the porch, please." The bear girl nodded, shuffled backward, climbed up the stairs, held on tightly to the railing, and glared down at the quickly approaching person. "You there!" I shouted again. "Who are you, and why are you on my property?"
"I finally figured it out,"
a voice rasped from underneath the hood.
"I finally did it. I figured it out."
The person clothed in black came to stand in front of me, wavered on their feet, chuckled darkly, lurched forward, pointed a single finger at the middle of my chest with one hand, and then threw off the hood with the other. "What?" I barked. "What are you doing here?"
"Charles Rayburn."
Hortensia cackled madly.
"You're a murderer. You murdered Delphine Valentine and the warden. It was you, and you alone. And you're going to pay for your crimes against the matriarchy."